it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. You know, when you're talking about the New World Order and all that stuff, that's Satan. It is part of this world. It's part of this life that we're in. It is the way it is. You're in enemy territory. That's a given. That's a given. Jesus was in enemy territory when he came into this world and he went to Jerusalem. He was in enemy territory immediately. We were waiting for him to jump on the white horse, but he came in on a donkey. How are you going to fight with a sword and defeat the Romans and all that with on a donkey, and you don't have any sword? What's going on? Well, maybe he's got something planned. Okay. When they realized he wasn't going to free them then, because they didn't know the scriptures, they turned against him. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. I'm going to show you the positive side of this in a way you may not be expecting tonight. Sometimes I'm not expecting what I'm going to say. I kind of depend on the Lord to give me what to say. I'm going to talk about the millennium. I'm going to talk about the tribulation. I'm going to talk about the faith of a child, the end times events. I got a lot planned tonight. I want to talk tomorrow night in more detail about the apostasy of the church. I got it ready to go now, but tonight I have an epiphany I want to provide you all that God has now put on my heart to tell you. I've had this for quite a while. I just haven't brought it up, but I'm going to tonight and see where it heads, where it goes, and see where tonight goes. I may go to an hour and a half, but hopefully it'll go by fast. Or if you don't mind the hour and a half, you can stick around. It'll still be recorded. If I was living in the 70s, 80s, I'd say it's still being taped. I still say being taped, and I catch myself. Oh, this is the 21st century. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together tonight in this, Father, in your house, in this church, in this ministry. Father, we ask you to bless those we prayed for in the past. We lift up them to you again tonight for protection as they go through life and their new lifestyles. We pray for recovery, healing, for new lives, lives that's changed, to guide them along for the next step in their life. For you to be there with divine appointments. For those, you know, who's in my heart I'm asking about. And you hear the prayers of everyone else, Lord, at the same time. Lord, we pray, Father, once again, a way through this deception that's being put out on a regular basis in this country. Father, to wake people up, Lord, if it takes a shaking, then that's what it has to be. Because the truth is not being told. We need supernatural help. Lord, we all can do this through supernatural wisdom, discernment that comes upon from you through the Holy Spirit. The Bibles are corrupted, except for the King James, and Lord, the churches have apostasy, it's increasing. The laws of the land are changing. To find a positive side, Lord, is a challenge. But Lord, we know that Satan is prince of this world. But through the darkness, there's a cloud with a silver lining. We see the millennium in the future. But a stairs up to go before we get there. Rocky roads ahead. But Lord, the positive side is we know you've won already. It's just giving us the opportunities to witness to others that have not found this out. And only through your divine appointments and trusting us and guiding us in the right path, give us the words to speak, we can speak to those. And to deliver us from temptations that may redirect our own path. Father, that's why we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I read, you know, it seemed like I reflect back on Martin Luther King with some of the ways that he talks. And I want to use the term sometimes, somewhere I've read. It's a powerful preliminary state to get people's attention. But certainly I could never fill his shoes or Bill Cooper's shoes, and a million years never possible. But I do the best I can to get the word across to people in my little world here. Somewhere I read, goes back to the 1950s. Gosh. That's 50, 60 years ago. 50, 60 years ago almost. Wow. The increase of the world's population is to be strictly controlled on the excuse that the earth cannot feed the numbers that will result from unrestricted births, despite the fact that starvation and the want are brought about by diabolical controls. Famines created, it's not because of an overpopulation, that's a lie. There's no overpopulation. That is a total, complete fabrication. And this Antichrist for the future will, and I quote, will decide how many human beings are required to serve the state, and his efficiency experts, the Illuminati, military, science industry, so forth, will advise him how many of each type of human being should be born. Selected males picked for their mental and physical features will father the human race by means of artificial insemination. Women who've been specially selected will be used as human incubators. Extensive experiments, in fact, according to research, have been carried out behind the Iron Curtain. Iron Curtain, wow, that's 1950s. In this field of science in the past 37 years. Well, take 1955 and subtract 37 from it. What do you get there? Because that's the reference of what I'm telling you about. The reference I'm telling you about, word for word, is 1955 minus 37 is around 1917, 1918. Oh my. And after those steps in this conspiracy have been accomplished, it will be a simple matter to erase all knowledge of God from the human mind by scientific brainwashing. It's called humanism. Systematically applied. And the rule of Satan will take over instead of that of Christ the King. Family, that was 40, 50 some years ago that was said. Today's newspaper, yesterday's newspaper, is that soon enough for you? February the 4th, 2015. Associated Press. Britain moved on Tuesday, the day before yesterday, toward allowing scientists to create humans from the DNA of three people. The technology aims to liberate future generations. Oh, I love the excuse. From inherited diseases, but critics say it crosses a fundamental scientific boundary and could lead to designer babies. The UK's House of Commons voted 382 to 178. That's a majority, pretty much. Almost half, it's a majority, or whatever you want to call it, but it's enough to pass it, in favor of legislation to license these experiments. If approved in the House of the Lords, contradictory of terms, by the way, Britain would become the first nation, what a lie, to allow genetic modifications in human embryos. The family, they cloned the Pharaoh. They cloned the Pharaoh in 1985. It's a bold step to take, considered in informed step, Health Minister Jane Ellison told the Commons. Wonderful. It's completely different from that used to create genetically modified foods. Oh, great. I feel better already. Family, right there it is. So if they tell you this today, that the protests are about protecting children from severe health risk of these unnecessary techniques and protecting everyone from the eugenic designer baby future that will follow from this. Now we know the real reason why they're doing it. The lies in the newspaper, the truth is what I told you at the very beginning. To decide who will live, who will die, and they will as Brock Chisholm said, eradicate racial characteristics by mixing black, red, yellow, and white races together. Brock Chisholm advocated Canadian Broadcasting Communications that by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear. So that means they got to exterminate all the races other than their own creation. They've done already the creation. They've already got the DNA. National Geographic, October 13th issue. I'm sorry, October 2013 issue. Quote, title, The Changing Face of America, unquote. America has always been created for this purpose. This is the only purpose for America. You see what's really going on? What's really happening? They've lost. We got to go through this. What I've given you is the deception in the media and the truth of why they're doing it. Both documented. And I just found this a little while ago. The connection of the dots. That is. You know, we can be encouraged by the faith of children. They brought encouragement to Jesus as he wrestled the forces of darkness, as we're doing today, that the majority of Christians and churches don't have a clue. If you go to church, where they're supposed to be teaching about this, any church should be, and you talk about demons, they're going to look at you like you got three heads and somebody better call the police. This guy's crazy. It's all backwards. It's got it all backwards. Because they're going to scare people away if they talk about demons. You got demons in this church. How dare you say? There they go. You see? He wouldn't be able to handle it. If you've got corrupted theology, what do you think is going to be in there? It ain't going to be God, that's for sure. The apostasy of the church, I'll speak about tomorrow, but when you got apostasy in the church, which is most of them today, you think God's Spirit's in there? No, not. After he rode on a colt or a donkey in Jerusalem and entered the temple, the children shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David, Matthew 21:15, and the religious leaders heard them. They were indignant. They got jealous and prideful. Can you imagine their arrogance as they put the blame on Jesus? Do you hear what these are saying, verse 16? So, of course, Jesus heard them. He knew they were saying, knew each one of them. He knew them before they were born. That doesn't mean that they lived in heaven when they were supernatural. Doesn't mean they're reincarnated. That's nonsense. He just knows the future. He was encouraged, and these young voices ministered to him during a crucial time of his arrival. And their cries of praise was more than the adults. Their praise centered on the slanderous attacks of his enemies. They countered him. The enemies. Attacks. And Jesus was in the midst of an intense spiritual battle right then. You don't think you're not too? Yeah, you are. Deep in enemy territory, Jesus was. You think he's unusual about that? No, you are too. He was opposed by the religious leaders, under attack by satanic foes. You don't think so? Go to some of the churches you go to and say the NIV is nothing but satanic, which it is. New King James Bible is satanic, which it is. Watch what you get. Tell you what you won't get, and then invite to the church for the second Sunday. That's what you will get. The faith and words of the children was, in fact, a sharp contrast to the that background insidious voices of his enemies, who were the clergy of the day. The praise supported him on his way to the cross, the children. You see, when we as human beings today are burdened by troubles or oppressed by the enemy, it helps us to spend some time with children who know who Jesus really is. So if you affect the children with humanistic attitudes, now you got the formula. What's going on today is insidious. So many people don't see it. As you hear the simple trust in the Lord, the faith can be renewed. The faith of a child, the faith of a mustard seed. God, give me the faith of a little child. A faith that'll look to thee, that never will falter, never fail, but follow thee trustingly. Shalaman. Faith shines brightest in a childlike heart. So are you ready? You just never know what's going to happen. Well, I'm going to wait to see you in the sky. So the family's going to be too late. People waiting. What's it going to happen? Well, it's going to happen September the 23rd, 2015. Oh, they got some of this nonsense going around. Everybody's got it all calculated out. Can they make something happen? Sure, they can make something happen. And these are all Christians. Depart from me, I never knew ye. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. And these people do, oh, I love the Lord, I love God, I got the Bible, I do this, I do that. But I wrote a book, and I've got a series of like 15, you know, chapters or 15 YouTube to prove that the feast of this, that, or the other. There's only one more feast, Feast of Tabernacles. That's the thousand-year millennium reign. Needless to say, that's not started yet. And if you think for one second I'm going to a zoo and lie beside a lion, you got another thing coming. We're not in the thousand-year reign. Hello. I won't even stand beside a skunk. Family, they got some crazy people out there that are pretending to be Christians, or they really believe it. I don't know. Whatever it is, it ain't working. That's why there's going to be a shaking. And those that don't take Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's going to be a bacon too. I ain't making light of it. This is my nature, way I get things across. You know, as death terminates the day of possible salvation for those who reject Christ, you don't know when that day is coming. You don't know. You have no idea. Nobody has any idea. You know, there's a story going around that one day this woman was out cutting her lawn with a riding lawnmower, and she noticed some movement in the grass. Hopping down around, she discovered a couple of these baby little rabbits scampering away from the noisy machine. She shooed them out of the way of the path of the tractor and what she thought was safety, but then out of the sky swooped a hawk, and in a second he had one of the little bunnies in his talons and gone. Well, she felt bad about it. While she was helping the little guys avoid one danger, she had made them vulnerable to another. So even despite her efforts of saving one or two or three little bunnies, that bunny met his demise. Now, what that makes you think of is your own mortality. It's not just a bunny. That's not something college students think about all the time, but they should. So should all of us. I may go to the store tonight. Get broadsided. You don't know. Many people don't want to admit that life tomorrow is not guaranteed. You don't know if you're going to live until tomorrow or 50 years from now. You don't know. That's reality. A clock may move. You got the idea. So why think about it? Because you got to be prepared to meet the Lord any time. Because if you're not prepared to meet the Lord and you die, it ain't going to be the Lord you meet. The Bible says it's appointed for men to die once. But after this, the judgment. What one time, maybe two or three, that you can think that that was violated? Lazarus. And the little girl. And maybe some others that doesn't cover that, does it? Because that's special. And what's another way? Enoch, he never died. But for 99.99999% of human beings, it's appointed for you to die once, and then the judgment. One, two never died, Elijah and Enoch, and several died and came back again and died again. Because God allowed it to happen. That's what makes it special. He can make those special arrangements, but for the most part, the reality is you die once and then the judgment. If you've never done so today, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And don't worry about Agenda 21. If it's going to be, it's going to be. But I tell you one thing they won't get. If they even get Agenda 21, they won't get no Agenda 22. I can tell you that right now. And we've been lied to before. America's frame of thinking. Well, the early bird gets the worm. Get there first. Be the first one. But they keep forgetting. That's the second mouse that gets the cheese. So it doesn't always hold true now, does it? So, you know, death terminates the day of possible salvation for those who reject Christ. So does the rapture, whatever it is. Oh, they've got the rapture all pinpointed. September the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 2015. Can they put something, can they make something happen? Oh, sure can. Holograms, all kinds of other nonsense, or have people disappear and report it in the false media. Something can happen, but it won't be biblical, I'll tell you that right now. And they use soft voices, Christian-like sounds and terms to fool people into thinking it's all true. That's here and there. Those who have heard the gospel message and rejected it will be given a strong delusion. And this is during the tribulation period when it finally happens. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 10 to 12 says, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, boy, that kind of throws a little bit of a boomerang at you, don't you? Is that the right way of saying it, or is that a gambolism? See, us down south here, we tend to make up our own words that you don't find in any dictionary, anywhere in the world, actually. Especially enough in the Appalachian Mountains, they just may have their own little vocabulary. So, that kind of puts a little bit of a wrinkle in the thought that you'll have an opportunity during the tribulation period to repent. And it brings up the question, who? If God's going to send a strong delusion, how does he know which ones past that tribulation period, past the rapture, is going to have an opportunity to repent. Huh. That kind of gets you thinking, don't it? Revelation 13 tells us that it will be the lives of the beast and the Antichrist who counterfeit the life of Christ and bring deception. Yeshua, Sananda, Krishna, the Christ, Bodhisattva, Imam Mahdi, Kalki Avatar, Maitreya. Now I'm waiting for Elmer Fudd to come popping up in the and old Barney. You know, believing these deceptions, people have rejected the gospel before the tribulation, they will go to hell without opportunity to receive Christ. Because they rejected the gospel. Now, you know what I've been saying along? Those that listen to me or listen to others when they're trying to preach the gospel have heard it, and then they reject it. But they've heard it. God knows the heart. The day of grace will be over for them. There's no second chance. There's no repentance for the fallen angels. That's what hell is created for. If God created hell for the fallen angels and Satan, he had no way that they were going to repent. Because they rejected the truth in the supernatural realm. They knew the truth. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Tell them about you. Because we're physical. We don't have the dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural. Therefore, we can't see it. So he's given us the Bible. He's given us inspiration, wisdom, discernment, free will. So make a decision. Based on faith. Fallen angels already know the truth about the supernatural. Hell was created for them, knowing they were going to be going there. Humans don't have that supernatural knowledge, so it's taken by faith. Be warned. You can't wait to become a Christian. A lot of people reason like this before, but you kind of wonder about someone's legitimate desire to know God if it's coupled with a desire to beat the system. Slide by. Sulk down in your seat so you don't get picked for that task of washing the blackboard or carrying the trash out before the end of school. Maybe they'll miss you. They won't pick you. You don't let anyone tell you that you can beat the system by waiting to become a Christian until the tribulation. That's what everybody's doing. It's not through Christianity. Christianity is a corrupt religion. A Christian has nothing to do with Christianity. Haven't heard that too many places, have you? Being a Christian is following Christ. And the Christ's first name is Jesus. Not Christianity. Christianity is corrupt. 40,000 different ways. All it takes is one anti-biblical principle or law, ritual. It's done. It's not about religion. But they try to beat the system by waiting to become a Christian until the tribulation. It won't happen. They'll be deceived. The reason more people aren't saved today is because of deception. And that's where humanism comes in. Because we exalt ourselves. It's quite amazing, though. But the more the tribulation grows in its intensity, the more people reject God. You'd think they'd turn to him and cry for mercy. But instead, they curse him and blame him for everything else that Satan does. They curse the one who sends judgment upon this earth, and it's coming. It is coming like a choo-choo train. And you know, those who reject the truth now will be deceived. They'll never believe the gospel when they hear it preached. They'll just get angry at the person because they'll have their heart pricked. They'll get angry because their heart's being pricked and convicted. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. Man, don't play with this. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But you're not going to get around God's plan. Not one human being has ever lived, nor one living now, nor one living in the future will ever escape God's plan. But the fortunate part is, if you're true to him, you will escape the salvation when you choose him. He already knows, though, but he gives you the opportunity. People try to beat the system. Isn't that what everybody's trying to do, is beat the system? Imagine that. When you reject him, that is the one unforgivable sin. When you renounce Jesus Christ, Freemasons, you have rejected Jesus Christ, and all the good deeds of the world are just going to dig your hole deeper. A strong message needs to be told today. But let's say you're a four-star general, you have your own parking place at the Pentagon, and you know top secret this, that, and the other. Would you listen to a lowly radio talk show host? No. All I read is through the Bible. I'm nobody special. I use the Bible. Hello. I plagiarize. Whatever. I don't make none of this up. Nothing I say I make up. Nothing. All this part of me preaching, and people that know me think, Gamble's preaching? You got to be kidding me. Would think something's wrong. I went over the deep end. But I haven't. I don't know how I fell into this. It just happened. I don't get any benefit or reward from this other than spiritual, I guess. That's all I get. That's it. It's nothing else. Either depend on God or I don't. I don't even read fortune cookies. Fortunes. I purposely just throw them away. I don't even look at them. I got thoughts sometimes I'm not satisfied with, but I'm human. I'm working on that. And that turn the other cheek thing, I've got a problem with that still. But that's another thing I'll talk about later, I think. Not today, but that part about turn the other cheek is quite interesting study. It doesn't mean you turn the other cheek, just get beat up, and there's something to be said about that, biblically. But I ain't going there tonight. An epiphany, not long ago, I've been holding back on. I wasn't sure when to talk about it. It talks about the tribulation. It talks about the coming king and what we've talked about when Jesus Christ comes back again and the false Christ. And it goes something like this. This war that's raged for generations upon generations is finally coming to a head. How do I know? Because I'm reminded of the prophecy of Daniel that's unfolding before our eyes. Remember the parable of the fig tree, and now I can talk about it, you see. I didn't know when to tell you about my epiphany here. Now I can know why. Because the past 3 weeks I've talked about Daniel, Isaiah, Book of Revelation, so forth. Humanism and all that, and that kind of comes together. This was not planned by me. Those who've been listening to my broadcast, now you know what I'm talking about. As if you didn't already know, some of you. But the parable of the fig tree, it's not about Israel. Israel's not the fig tree in Matthew 24:25. That's in Matthew. And it's not about Israel, it's a fig tree. And yet only had 70 years because a generation is 70 years. They tacked that on out of nowhere. And they come up with the rapture is going to be 2016. Oh, I thought it was 2015. No, 2017. Oh, for goodness sake, crying out loud. The use of the fig tree in this case is not Israel, but it's the analogy of the signs of the times. It's heading to the final showdown. For Satan, it's bittersweet. He gets a time on, gets a time to be worshipped on earth, but then he's heading to hell. 1,000 years in the abyss. And what if the false prophet and the Antichrist knows they'll be burning after the 7 years? I always wondered about that. The universal flood will pale in comparison to what's coming. What was the prophecy of Daniel? The interpretation of the dream of the image of the four empires. The four beasts we talked about. And all this is my epiphany. I'm giving you right now, all of it. The description of the leader of the Antichrist, the fifth, was but was not. It means existed. It didn't die. It just went to the background. Still existed. And those who are faithful turn from this world because they learn that the world is temporary. Everything's temporary. Thermodynamics, entropy. There's no it's a, evolution is scientifically impossible. Even with science, it's not possible. People aren't thinking about it. We can't go outside the Van Allen belt. If you were cruel, and you had a pet mouse, and you threw it in the microwave, not to be too graphic, but I guess that's graphic enough, and you turned it on, that mouse would equal the astronauts going out past the Van Allen belt. Boy, that leaves up some begging the questions, don't it? And then you know about the Iron Mount Report. One of the steps in the Iron Mount Report to control people in time of peace. War is the best way to control people. Time of peace, how do you control people? Well, they came up with one part was extraterrestrial menace to keep us busy. That's in the report. Held formulated by John Dewey in 1917. But another one, which really raises your eyebrow when they know, when you know they put it together in 1963-66, when Von came over from Nazi Germany as a space scientist, rocket scientist. One of the initiatives was objectives. Quote, a space research program aimed at unreachable targets, unquote. Uh-huh. They never went to no moon. It's not possible. It's a big lie. You go past the Van Allen belt, you're going to cook like that mouse would in the microwave. That's exactly what's going on outside. That supernatural can live outside the Van Allen belt, but not flesh cannot do it. Everything in this world is temporary. The world failed to follow God due to the sin of Adam and Eve. But the righteous was saved during the days of the flood. Sodom and Gomorrah was spared up to the departure of Lot. Lot departed. Fire came down. It wasn't some nuclear weapon or laser beam from the alien. So for goodness sakes alive, people believe that nonsense. Abraham prayed to spare it, but God destroyed it because none were righteous, not one, so he took it out. You see, reduce the number of righteous, God will destroy it. That's the plan of Satan and the fallen angels, to reduce the number of righteous on the earth, so God will destroy it. It is evil what they do. He removed his righteous, though, and he gave specific instructions to follow. The first two being, pack up and move out. And the second, don't look back. So you ask, why has he allowed all this pain and suffering? The Christians in the day of Rome were faithful, removed. They were removed. They were brought home. And their death as martyrs started changing those that watched. So bad, so much so, Satan had to stop killing the Christians and bring in Constantine. See how God works? He just brought them home out of their fleshly bodies. Said, okay, come on. Death education teaches us to fear death. We're brought out of a temporary existence to one of permanently in heavenly place. I've played many times the Satan's prayer at that council meeting. I'm not going to play it tonight. I know all y'all tonight have probably heard it. You probably memorized it. I don't have to play it for y'all tonight. The Satan's prayer that they said in Lake something, Florida, December the 2nd or whatever. Katy Perry saying she gave her life to Lucifer, Satan. Jack Black giving a prayer to Satan at the MTVA Awards in 2009 in public. Science is always temporary, and a lot of it is not even true. This is why science is used to bring about some form of external equilibrium and some kind of reward that God has to offer to take his place, to explain his miracles. Satan even thinks that he can defeat God at his own game by taking control of the weather, using a harp and other means of technology to control Earth's destructive forces before that time, and even make transhumanized beings that they're calling metropolitans. I know you haven't heard that before, but that's what they are. They can take on angels from God, but they have no idea. See, that's where the article comes from. They're not telling people about that. They're constructing human beings to be able to take on those angels. That's the biggest thing. And they come up with some silly thing about changing genetics and all that nonsense. The whole purpose of it, as I've proven, is counter to what they really said. The UK moves toward making babies from DNA of three people. They've already interchanged wombs. As in the days of Noah, we are really close, family. And you know, Satan even has a system of internal spies that can possess Christians, give them false security that they're talking to God or they're hearing from God. They're not. He thinks that if he can possess a Christian by having a spell, Christian put a spell on himself, as John Todd talked about, he will learn of God's plans, because God reveals his plans to those who follow him. That's why they'll never figure out a day of tribulation or rapture. They'll never figure it out. See, this is a game going on. This is a battle going on way over our heads. No pun intended here. That's why Satan is having his agents to turn the earth's over to himself to force God's hand, changing the laws of the land. That's what's really going on today. And you know what this is for? It's for revenge of the calamity of the flood, where the fallen angels had to stand by helplessly and watch their children, which were, by the way, abominations then, Nephilim, kill each other and drowned in the flood. That's the big picture. This is payback. Their payback will always fail. From the bloodline of Ham, Cush, to Nimrod, after the flood, led to the first standoff. From the pharaohs of Egypt to the Illuminati bloodlines of today, they continue on. To offer that opportunity for people to make their decision, whose side they're on. That's what it's all about. Satan offers rewards on this earth that are always temporary, right up to the life of the person, or even before, when the person has been used up. They die. But they die to sin. All those he uses, he takes their life. Because God allows it, because they rejected Jesus by their own decision. They're forever cut off from God, and their entire eternal inheritance is lost for an eternity. They want reward on this planet before they want the inheritance that's eternal. I still continue with my epiphany, by the way. Had to sit down one day, and I pulled off, had to write this. It took me about 20 minutes to write. I can't just wait. I'll get it when I get home or talk to anybody. Everything's got to stop, and I start writing. Otherwise, I lose it. I can't remember anything. It dissipates. That's when you know it's coming from God, because you're clued in. You're keyed in. I can't explain it exactly. It comes, and you got to do it then. If you don't, it goes away. God removes his very own from this planet, where everything is temporary and will soon perish. Flesh is weak, but used as a trial of your free will that will be forever in heaven, because it's changed the flesh to incorruptible. If you marry a cheater and abusive before marriage, then he will be a cheater and abusive after marriage, or even worse. Only thing that's going to change him is the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, I know he's not going to change. I know for a fact. To not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that's the enticement. To have knowledge. Each Freemason, each degree going up, knows more than what the Freemason knows below. He knows more knowledge than the one below. That puffs his ego up. That's the trick. That's the carrot. That's the the M&M for E.T. to lead them on to the next stage. And each stage they go up, they get more brainwashed till they get to 32nd degree. And then from there, they pick only a small percent that becomes a 33rd degree Mason. And of those, only a third of them know the royal secret and beyond of alchemy. Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to be obedient even to a dictatorial government, not rebellious, with the exception of the government causing for you to sin, to be obedient to the government, is Romans 13. But when the government calls you to sin, say, well, I'm not going to do it. Today they're teaching total rebellion. And they're doing it so you will give the government reason to crack down under the guise of being patriots. That's how sneaky these people are. Wakefield, Florida City Council was one. Wakefield, Florida City Council. I like to look into that one. Where they say the Satan's Prayer. It's just little by little. It's going to increase. Humanism. Satan's Prayer at council meetings and church or schools is how they do it. To be removed, receive the blessing of God, which is eternal for now. The reason for this 1,000 years is restructuring the culture of death without the influence of Satan for 1,000 years. See, today we talk about humanism going back to Nimrod and the occult. The 7 ashram rays, death education for your children. So all this stuff, all this negative stuff, whatever. You see, the 1,000 years, you won't have that. You'll have individuals that make mistakes, sin. I don't know where the punishment goes. I don't understand that yet. But it'll be a complete reversal, a new beginning for mankind. There will be mortals and there will be supernatural in control. There will be righteous to God. He's going to restructure the culture of death into the culture of life. Lies, no mercy, pain, and temporary rewards to eternal life. Truth and mercy, no pain, and permanent reward during the 1,000 years. Did you get that? That the reason for the 1,000 years, and this is something I came up with in my head, is to restructure the culture of death. The lies, no mercy, the pain. Temporary reward. He's going to restructure it to eternal life, to truth, to mercy, no pain, and permanent reward during this 1,000 years and then after. So it's obvious that some immortals in 1,000 years will also turn away from God at the end. As the Watchers did. This is when they have free will. And they lusted after the daughters of man. And the power they had over the kingdom of this world. To take the opportunity of eternal life, the tree of life, of worship, of obedience to God. And at the same time, to gain and restrain the knowledge of the 7 rays, they call them. Politics, religion, finance, science. All those things that they use. And this, the 7 rays, to exalt oneself over God, or desire to be like God, eternal, have the power of God, will not be allowed. So, once a great calamity, series of disasters, God's judgment, the metropolitans, the giants, the sinners of this age, during the second 3.5 years of Daniel's prophecy, in the 70th week of judgment, He will protect and remove His elect. The mortals He'll protect wherever they are. There cannot be a post-tribulation rapture, since those obedient have always be protected from God's wrath and judgment. Brought home hints that the wrath of man, the wrath of upon man, which is the first death, when you refuse God's mercy, then you cause your own separation from God for eternity. So at the end of the 1,000 years, those who were protected lived in God's influence for that 1,000 years. They'll be made immortal, then finally, with the other immortals, with the saints that came in with Jesus after Armageddon. They'll be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ for the first, which is after the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then they'll come down with Jesus at Armageddon and rule for 1,000 years over the mortals. Benevolently, not malevolently. Those that don't will be judged for their iniquity and sin, then cast permanently into the lake of fire, and other punishments according to their works in the great white throne judgment. But still separated in torment from God for that eternity. But there'll be then after the 1,000 years, a new heaven, a new earth. That'll be befitting for your eternal state. Now you see why I read to you an hour ago about having faith. It's all in faith. Satan offers rewards, but they are temporary. God offers rewards, but they're permanent. The Garden of Eden will be restored. You won't have to work for your food or go kill animals. All will be immortal and carry on your lives, but as eternal with free will to pursue your dreams in the millennium. After the millennium, the eternal new heaven and new earth, your dreams will be fulfilled. It'll all be future, never past. There's no past. Only future in the eternal. Today, what are you concerned with? The past, always the past. And the future is uncertain. Good, bad, I don't know. But in heaven, in the millennium, excuse me, in the eternal state, it's going to always be good. But family, you're going to be tested, because the first test of the watchers didn't work. He wants strong people there. He wants people that love him, that respect him and fear him. Fear not in the terminology of today, but fear is respect. Different definition than what people believe or think. But it'll be under the rule of God, with an iron rod, by the way. The new heaven and new earth is permanent. You see, the first watchers were supposed to guide man. The second watchers, after Nimrod, were supposed to guide man. To show him this, show him that, but their free will led them astray. Satan corrupted them also. That's what happened. The new heaven, new earth is permanent. God is heaven. The nations will be obedient to God, will rise, and people will live under much different conditions, much apart from a sinful world. However, these things before must come to pass. Death is nothing more than removal from a world that's heading to disaster and God's wrath upon it to a place of a paradise. You have to have that faith. Look into the promises of God and return to Eden. All he wants you to do is follow the Ten Commandments, to love one another and him. Well, what's Satan's transference? Eternal body based on technology through machines. Total control of the mind. No freedom. Death of body and soul. All science processes, rewards, they're all temporary. Oh, please. Take a science book of 1950, compare it with a science book of today. That should be enough to convince you. Satan's never won. His battles are wars. Not really. It's all made to look like it is. End of Epiphany. For that one, I got several others. That one I had to deliver. I tend to think the first hour of the broadcast today, I might have got off track, but I'm still not convinced. I think somebody had to hear what I had to say today in my broadcast. It departed a little bit from the... It's connected, granted, but some things I had to say today in the first hour. I tried to tell myself, well, I got off track again, but I can't convince myself I did. I have a lot of people listen to my broadcast, but not during the broadcast itself or Bible study. I found out how to find out the statistics. My biggest listeners are United States, of course, Israel, Ukraine, China, New Zealand, and the UK. Fairly large. Oh, in Korea. I don't know. Strange. Christ is going to come back when he's ready. He will set up his kingdom without our help. And it won't be a time clock. I can't believe people come up with this. I just can't for the life of me. Anyway. That's why we need to be praying the great prayer, oh, that you rend heavens and come down. Isaiah, we got 64:1. In Isaiah 64:1, oh, thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountain might flow down in thy presence. Now, if I have trouble understanding some of this, I don't freak out. Say, Lord, man, I don't understand this stuff at all. I just can't read this. What I do is I find me 2, 3, or 4 commentaries, and I scrutinize the author, plural, and then I find a consensus, and I say, Lord, now I've got this. Now you tell me what the truth is. He'll rest it on your heart. In Isaiah 64:1, what he's talking about there is the prayer which began in 63:15, by the way. The recital of past mercies leading the prophet to look ahead to the Babylonian captivity. And that to intercede for the exiles. Seeing that God's zeal and his strength and mercies are being withheld from the remnant. So Isaiah pleads that God is still their father, even though Abraham and Israel were to disown them. Remember, God told Abraham, since he was the first Hebrew Jew, to move away. That's how important it was. So the prayer which began in 63:15 is continued and turns to confession. So the remnant implores God to rend the heavens, come down in fury on his adversaries. That's what he expected Jesus to do. He did, really, in a way. To die on the cross was the way. That's not what they expected. In this Old Testament period, they recall other interventions of God. Some manifestations of the only true God who acts for the one who waits for him. But that was in the days of the law. They remember that God showed favor to those who delighted in practical righteousness, and they have incurred his anger by their long-continued sins. They wondered if there were any hope for people like them to be saved. They confess the personal uncleanness, admit that their best deeds, their righteousness, are like filthy rags. That's important for the Freemasons to know. That's the message, partially. In that is that good deeds don't get us out of scotch, so to speak. 64:6-7. But we are as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, hast consumed us, because of our iniquities. And right now, God puts in my head, I think some of you that know me know exactly where I'm headed, don't you? If my people, which are called if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Family, a Tea Party meeting won't get it. A vote for the Constitution and getting everybody together in the states won't get it. Electing a Democrat, a Republican, or a Libertarian, or Vegetarian, or whatever, won't get it. It ain't going to happen. Having meetings upon meetings, having your buffet and leaving, and feel good because you had a meeting, ain't going to get it. Although they think it will. It will not. But when that earth starts shaking, now that's going to get their attention. Now tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about the millennium. You want positive? We'll talk positive. We'll talk about the millennium tomorrow night. And some other points about the end times events. And I wanted to talk tonight, which I'll talk about tomorrow, which comes into play, about the real war in heaven. The one that's going to open heaven up and send those fallen angels tumbling. We'll talk about that. I've been waiting on that, and I think tomorrow will be a good time, and I think that will work in the next Monday and Tuesday, too. A war in heaven and a basic overview of all the main end events. I got tons of that I talk about. Tomorrow I want to finish up on humanism and the attack of the children by humanists on the children. In detail of exactly how they do it as compared to biblical terms. We'll do that tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon, 4 to 6. I want to finish up tomorrow on humanism. Maybe it'll help somebody. Because then they'll get, in what way? Well, they get with their children at night for 15 minutes, maybe 30 at the most, and find out what you learned today. We learned that euthanasia is the best way. Whoa. We learned that reincarnation is real. Whoa. We learned that evolution, because they found three teeth that were 300,000 years old. Woe and double woe. Oh, I got people telling me that now. They got bone fragments of beings that were 300,000, 400,000 years old. See there? I said, see what? You talking about Lucy? Or are you talking about another Lucy? I know Lucy Arnaz. I don't know about no Lucy with... You got some bone fragments. That's been proven to be a fraud anyway. Every which way, people looking to get a way out. Ain't going to happen. God will send them a strong delusion. And they'll be before the Savior. But he will be the judge. He will not be intercessor. People don't realize that. They're going to think they're going to bring all their good deeds at the great white throne and say, look what I got here. 33rd degree Freemason. Look all the good deeds I did. Look, they ain't got nothing. Oh, he's going to get slam dunked. Bad. Because there's not a plea in the supernatural. Now is the time of that plea, right now in the physical. Because when you die, it's over. When you're in front of Jesus Christ in the millennium, in the great white throne judgment, it's already decided you're going to hell. At this point, it's the degree of hell you're going to get. In other words, if you've got a burner on your stove and it's got low heat, high heat, extra high heat or whatever, it's how much heat you're going to get on your hand. You understand? That's one way of putting it. Family will close in prayer. And let y'all think about that. And if have some issues about what I said tonight, you need to tell me. One way or the other. Because tonight I hit some serious points. Hopefully for me to think about. Because you don't think that I'm thinking about them as I'm talking about them at the same time. Remind you all that my broadcasts and Bible studies are played at highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, plays at highpointradio.net. My broadcast randomly. And he has sponsors up there, and you can use them if you live in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Also, my website is Watch for Jesus. And I'm currently looking into... It's kind of expensive, but I think it's worth it. And professional web designers to hopefully upgrade my website back to where it was. I don't know. It's pretty costly, but we'll see how that works. I talked to him today, and I'm going to talk to him tomorrow and get this thing going. I've been working on my Facebook and trying to upgrade the quality of my content of the mimes I put up and commentary with the mimes and memes or mimes, whatever those darn things are. And so I'm going to start writing my epiphanies with mimes, pictures, and put a little more meat to it, a little bit more information. Let's close in prayer. Tomorrow, see y'all at 4 o'clock. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in this Bible study about the end times events. Father, to give us that inspiration, give us wisdom, discernment to see those events coming. And that, Lord, so we would be prepared to clear any debt that we have with you. And, Lord, to help others. As you said, divine appointments. And Father, protect us in our walk until that such time that this all becomes so clear. We are praying for our families. We're praying for our friends. We're praying for those, Lord, that we do talk to, that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts. We pray for our veterans and children that are being affected by these psychotropic drugs. Father, we pray for the truth to be let out. So we thank you for the Holy Word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to play one of my favorites here before we leave, a different one. I played this one many, many, many times. I'm going to play it again. I'm not going to play Old Buddha tonight. I think this one is a good one to be closing with. I played it before. It's one of my extreme favorites. I really like this one. Y'all have a good night. God bless you all, and thank you for coming by. This is Tom Gamble, your watchman for tonight. Hopefully I do a service to you that I don't get anybody astray. I've done that enough in my life. Had a lot of repenting to do. I mean, tons. I don't want to go back that way no more. I've had my share. Y'all have a good night. God bless. Love y'all. And good night.